This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Heather Cannon from Tampa, Florida.
And I am Lorinda Van Newkirk from Weatherford, Texas, and you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 23rd, episode 1367. Good morning, horse world.
It's rodeo time, ladies, let's ride.
It's Women in Rodeo Tuesday with Heather Cannon, where it's Ladies Day every day.
It's the rodeo show.
Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us on this Tuesday morning. Today's show is sponsored by the Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo. And today we have Lorinda Van Newkirk joining us. Good morning, Lorinda.
Good morning. How have you been?
Great, great. Lorinda is here today as our new co-host. We are so excited to have her join us. And we are here every fourth Tuesday of the month bringing you the latest from Women in Rodeo. We have a fun show planned for you today, and Jennifer's going to tell us a little about it.
Coming up on today's show, Lorinda will be helping us manage our business and horse time.
Barrel racer Ivy Conrado stops by for a visit.
Beth Knight talks about the Ram Circuit National Finals Rodeo. That's a mouthful, but it's coming to Florida, and we are very excited about that. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. I'm so excited about today's show, and I'm so excited to have you here with us, Lorinda. What have you been up to this past month?
Well, you know, being with my new changes in life and being home more, I figured out that I don't know how I was running a company and raising a family at the same time. So, you know, not working with Gypsy Soul anymore and working on some new projects that I've got going on the side. But my two girls that are 10 and 11, Charlie and Jaylee, are pretty much running me ragged anymore between basketball, volleyball, keeping the horses ridden. My husband's got a landscape business, so I've been helping him a bunch. And, you know, I just kind of chuckle at myself every night thinking I was kind of going to take some time off and relax. And I
You're
don't
a mom.
Feel that.
That doesn't happen for us moms.
Yes. I mean, I know I was super busy before, but, you know, I just, you know, there's so much going on in life and everybody around you. And, you know, I thought I was going to have more time to go to lunch with some friends and do some extra projects, you know, go to yoga every day, find my Zen, and maybe at 9:30 at night, I can start finding my Zen. It's crazy.
Everybody knows sounds... Zen occurs late in the evening. Yes.
Yes. With a bottle of wine.
Yeah. I was going to say a glass of wine. And then when I sleep, that's pretty much my Zen.
Yes. No. No, what I've found out is the 32-ounce Yeti will hold a whole bottle of wine, just in case you need to know that.
Good to know. Write
that's
that down.
The size yes. I don't have a Yeti yet, so I needed to know that information.
Yes, the big Yeti will hold a whole bottle of wine. Thank you, Yeti, for doing that for me. I really appreciate it.
Awesome. So did you have any barrel races, or have you girls done any races lately? I love seeing those photos on your Facebook page.
Yes, we're not going to as many as I would like, but you know, life happens. But last weekend we did attend a Brat race over in Alvarado. Great organization, great group of women that put that on. And they just bought a new arena. It's pretty cool over there. Love taking my kids, and Charlie is, you know, it's so neat to watch the progression that she's done over the last 2 years, and Jaylee's, you know, not quite as aggressive of a rider as Charlie yet, but they're 18 months apart. And then I'm on a horse that I don't even think I've ran him at a dozen, you know, real barrel races yet. And I did went 10th in the 5D. So I got the last hole and the last check at the barrel race, which is still great. But just to see him progress. And that's what I love about barrel racing. You know, it's just not running around three barrels. It's, you know, the keeping your mind right and your horse's mind right and your horse fit and you fit. There's so many variables that come all together to make a perfect storm. And it's so great to see my kids, you know, head, you know, hit that challenge head on and embrace it, you know, instead of getting mad or angry. You know, they know every day, every race is a different, there's different elements and a different attitude and different arena. And you have to, you know, it's kind of like life. You got to roll with it as it comes. So we're having
and, you mentioned finding your zen, but I have to say, you know, from watching your posting, you have said before that when your kids are having a tough time or you guys are having a tough time, that you go out to the horses and you spend your time together horseback. And mm-hmm. I think that's your zen a lot of times.
Yeah,
I think that's
for sure.
Yeah. So, you know, you are finding your zen, just not the way that you thought you would.
That's right. Not in my Yeti.
Exactly. You know, I really need to just come out there to Texas and spend some time with you and check out everything.
Yes.
I've been to Texas, but not as a vacation. It was always part of a convention or something that left me no downtime. So I think I need to plan a trip and we'll dig into that Yeti.
Yes. We'll do it. I'll get you your own personalized one.
Yeah, I need a Women in Rodeo Yeti.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I went recently to the Silver Spurs Media Luncheon. They invited me over there and had a behind-the-scenes tour, which was really cool, and did a few interviews. And one of my favorite things was Tater Porter. I believe he's their champion bull rider. I know it's not a woman, but he touched on some really cool things and debunked a few myths. One that I found rather funny, because one of my friends has actually asked me this, and he was telling how the flank strap is actually used and that it is not tied to the testicles of the bull. And
oh, that's great to know.
Yes, there are a lot of people that think that. And I actually posted that video to the Women in Rodeo Facebook page, and it has over 5,000 views right now. Yeah, so it's done really well. I think little pieces of information like that really resonate with people, because the misunderstanding on how things run behind the scenes, mm-hmm. for anyone that hasn't grown up around rodeo, it's a big deal. So, but
no, there's so much bad, you know, information out there, or wrong information out there about how the animals are treated or how things happen. It's great that you know, that there's people out there educating and teaching people.
Yes.
How
and Tater said, any of the men in the room know that if anything was tied to that bull's testicles, he would be laying down and squealing. And if you really think through
true.
That is the honest to God's truth. No bull's going to get out there and buck and run around. He's going to lay down and not move.
Yeah. We look how men act. Exactly.
So, yeah, that was a bit of a touchy subject, but one that needed to be talked about, I think. So I was glad he did that.
I'm jealous. I think that would have been fun to go to.
It was. And they brought a bull in, and he sat on the bull, and he talked about, you know, all the equipment they use, and it was a blast. It really was. I've put up some pictures of it, and I spoke to some of the rodeo queens, did some interviews with them, and the lady behind the marketing for Silver Spurs and the Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo, I did an interview with her because she does a phenomenal job. And she was actually a PRCA speaker this year. I didn't even know that till I spoke with her during the interview. And she filled the Silver Spurs arena in 30 days simply using social media. And so her whole thing is how important social media is for the rodeo industry.
Huge.
Yeah.
I mean, just the things you post. I mean, you're teaching me stuff all the time, and I've grown up in it. I mean, I love all the information you put out there on all your
social media. Thank you.
Yeah.
You know, okay. So I'm going to share something just only because you brought it up, and I never ever try to toot my own horn or whatever, but I had a young rodeo queen message me in the past week, and she had me in tears. I can't remember what she won. All around teen or something like that was what she won. And she faithfully follows all of my social media. And she said, "Miss Heather, I'm telling you, I did the best on my interview because of you and what you post." She said, "Every night my routine is to get in bed and go through all of your posts on Instagram." And that I was just tears and tears because I had no idea that anything I was doing was having such an impact. I'm crying right now a little bit.
We need to talk to you about tuning your own horn more often. Lorinda, let's gang up.
It feels so insincere to me. I hate it.
That's right.
And it's such a personal story. I certainly feel awkward sharing it, but I certainly won't say her name. But it meant so much to me, and she's such a sweetheart, and I'm so happy for her. So
I love it. I love when people reach out. Yes.
So, so what do you have coming up? Anything exciting coming up, Lorinda, that we need to look for on social media?
With the girls, there's always, 50 million things going on. There's some barrel races I want to go hit and do that. But I am working on a few projects with a couple brands. I can't really say anything. That's what, everywhere I go, even yesterday, I dropped something off at my CPA's office. And she's chasing me out the door and she's like, "What are you doing next?" And I go, "Like, where am I going next in town?" And she's like, "No, what's your next big thing?" And my best friend has just flown in from California and she's sitting in the car and I got in the car and she's like, "What's the matter?" I'm like, "I cannot go anywhere. Everybody thinks I have like this new, just ingenious idea that
I was going to say, how stressful is that? Everybody's on pins and needles waiting for Lorinda's next big thing.
Yes. And I do. I have a book. I have things I'm writing down. I've got some, but what's crazy is there's so many different, I have a great idea for something in the fitness world. I have a great idea for something for women in the Western industry, but completely different. I have all these ideas, but I just am such a believer, now that I'm pushed over the 40, timing is everything and it's just nothing's the right time. But, I've met with a couple people, on some ideas to kind of see if there's interest or ideas or where we could take it. I have some side projects I'm working on, but nothing set in stone. I mean, really, I'm still really, focused on me and what I, the change, after 13 years building a brand and then it's gone. It's every day, I have something that I'm, changing or addressing, emotionally, right. Or, it's like a divorce or somebody died. I mean, that was my life for 13 years. So I really want to sort through that.
You have done a phenomenal job of just going on the other side of that and staying positive and working through that. If you've ever been down about it, it doesn't show. maybe you've reached into that Yeti a few times, maybe.
Yeah, sitting in the corner rocking myself to sleep. No, we have not got to that point.
But you've done a good job.
No, I always say I'm in God's bubble. I'm in God's bubble, so this is what's supposed to be happening. So there's times of frustrations. I got a text this morning from, and we will leave who that's from, but, asking for, information on how we ran the company. And I'm just like, are you crazy? No, those are like, if you want to know that, you're going to pay me a lot of money for that. But, I'm still, I may be not around right now, but in the industry, but there will be a time I'll be back.
You're on the Women of Radio show.
And I love it. I am just so blessed with this, being a co-host has just been one of my dreams and you've made that come true. So I'm going to toot your horn again. Thank you for following through with your dream and I've got to tag along. So thank you. Thank you.
I'm glad to have you along for the ride. Get ready. So let's get into your business segment. You have information for us today on staying productive in our very busy lives. I'm excited to hear what you have to say.
Well, I just, think about, especially now with, like I said before, the change in the direction that I'm in my life. The biggest thing that I hear women when they, I've met some women for lunch I've been doing some consulting on how they can get their businesses going or just, being more in their life, wanting more, instead of just waking up, going to a job, they do a great job at, but maybe they want to do something more. And they just always say, I don't have time. I don't have this. And, I want people to really think about, how do you start your day? What are your goals for each day you set? And are you in control of your day? Or do you let your day control you? And that's like a huge thing to me. And how are you with change? Because if you've always been letting, you know, your day control you and all the elements around you control how your day goes, are you going to be able to make the change to take that control back? And the biggest thing that we're all guilty of, even myself, is how many times a day do you get sidetracked? I mean,
social media.
Yes, that's number one on my list.
Yes, it is. Yes.
And it's, you know, I just went to my parents for Christmas, and I want to use this as an example. My dad would probably choke me if he listens to this and knows that I use this for an example. But, you know, and my parents work 10, 12 hour days still. You know, they're 60 plus years old. They've never learned to take a vacation, nothing. But I watched my dad every night, how many hours he was on social media, you know, and he enjoys it and he's got friends on it. And I'm not, you know, it's the same as like we used to watch TV all the time. You know, we're on our phones instead. But how many hours you could get back in, you know, just what he's doing, which my dad chooses to do that. And he, you know, has ran many companies and he's very successful. But it just kind of made me thinking about the whole, you know, this whole topic of where, you know, where you're going with your day and how you can get time back. I've read some really great books. One book that I read, The 4-Hour Work Week, which I want to disclose, I absolutely hate that book. But he had a few good points in it where, you know, only check your, he was saying in there, you know, only check your emails like one time in the morning, one time after lunch, and right before you leave at work. Where I find myself, I'm, you know, when I would be at work, I would be checking my emails all the time and I would need to be on a project and then I would let myself get sidetracked. You know, unless you're waiting for a response, it makes sense. You know, a certain amount of time, and those people are going to have to wait instead of you, you know, answering all those emails throughout the day.
I'll jump in real quick. I agree with that. I have had to check myself recently. You know, social media is huge for my business. And the problem I run into is I catch myself thinking that I need to respond right away to every little thing. The problem with that for me is I have people that I'm in contact with from all across the country. So they may be 3 or 4 hours behind me. So they're wanting to chat at 10 o'clock at night. Well, that's not fair to my family. And if I'm not careful, I can let myself sit on my phone or on my computer and work until midnight. I mean, all day long. And so I have literally started, we don't have a landline. So to get away from it, I have started completely shutting down my phone. And if anyone needs me, they can call my daughter's phone. So that I can't, you know, I'm like, I'm done. Yeah. I'm shutting it off. And I will look at it right before bed. If there's something that's, you know, priority, I'll answer. If not, they can wait till morning. This really resonates with me. So go ahead. I just had to say that.
Well, but that's a perfect example. Are you in control of your day or is it in control of you? Because I mean, when you're a very passionate woman and passionate about what you're doing, it's easy to do that. And it's a great thing. The other book that I think is fantastic, somebody should pick up, is the 80-20 principle, because it really makes you think. I mean, it made me think when looking at my customers at Gypsy Soul, 80% of the money I made, you know, what you don't, I'm just got myself completely tongue tied for a moment.
That's okay. While you're gathering your thoughts, I'll jump in on the 80-20. One of the 80-20 rules, I think there's a couple out there that I learned, was in reference to your personal social media pages. If it's your personal one, that 80% of that should be personal post, family post, and only 20% of that should be related to your business, so that people just aren't totally, you know, was swamped with all of your business stuff, or they'll start tuning you out. So that's something I learned on the 80-20 rule.
And now that I've got myself gathered and together, so you know, 20% of my customers made my 80% of my money. And you have to be careful that the customers that took up 80% of your time only made you 20% of your money. So the true customers that actually made you the most money, you were spending the least amount of time on. Well, that's kind of wrong, you know, to do that, because the people that are being loyal, ordering every month. And so you have to kind of put that in your life. What is giving you the most reward, and what is sucking most of the time out of your life? And so when you start really reading through that book and understanding the principle of it, it opens your eyes to a whole new world of, you know, being more productive and how you spend your time and who you spend your time around. Another great book that's a super, if you're not a big reader and you're intimidated by books, Who Moved My Cheese is a great book, and it's just helping getting you started and change in your life. And literally, you can read that book in like 4 hours. If you sit down and read it, and I am not a fast reader, I'm awful at reading. So it's something you could just pick up over the weekend, or if you're sitting at your kids' games, or, you know, something like that. And if you're not a good reader, download these on iTunes and just listen to them in the car if you're commuting, or, you know, if you walk or do any kind of workout program, you can listen to them at the same time. But I mean, I think a good foundation, if, you know, you've asked yourself these questions and you're just like, I don't know where to get started. I don't know how to get motivated. These books are fantastic to kind of just, you know, get you started. And you can just Google, you know, books on this topic. And there's tons of them, but these are three that are, you know, they're listed, when you Google it on, Google these books, but these are three I have personally read and personally love. And in time, sometimes I read them two and three times just to refresh my memory of, oh yeah, I remember that.
Well, I love that. And I'm excited to add those to my bookshelf, because I've been looking for a few new books, and I'm all about, you know, self-help type stuff. And gosh, Lorinda, those were great tips. Thanks for sharing all of that.
Yeah. The biggest thing, I just want people, you know, we're all a work in progress, and you just need to remember every day is going to give you new challenges. And one day you've got to, you know, try to fit a round hole in a square peg, and the next day it's going to be something different. There's going to be challenges, you know, thrown at you every day, but you are investing in yourself and what you have coming, you know, for the journey of the rest of your life. So, you know, take the time to take control of your life back, because it's life changing. It's great.
Okay, let's bring our first guest on. We have Ivy Conrado. She's a WPRA barrel racer and winner of the Fort Worth Stock Show in Rodeo. Welcome to the show, Ivy. How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I want to give the floor to you for a second and let you kind of tell everyone who you are and where you're from.
My name is Ivy Conrado. I'm from Colorado. I'm about 30 minutes north of Denver. Both of my parents, you know, trained horses, rode horses. It's all we've ever done. And I grew up doing it, and grew up playing some volleyball too. And basically just what we do, you know, my on both sides of my family, my mom's side of the family rides and rodeos and puts on futurities. And my dad's side of the family has cattle. And, you know, it's just our lifestyle. So.
So yeah. You've come from a rodeo family then?
Yes.
Very nice. So just for listeners, the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo concluded back on February 6th, and that rodeo awarded $500,000 in prizes. You, Miss Ivy, took home, you're at about $30,000 for the year. I think you took home 14 something from that rodeo. How does that feel? You're doing phenomenal.
I don't know. It doesn't ever really settle in, you know, like you go to these rodeos and you know that there's that much money added, but you never think like, oh, I'm going to win that much. You know, I mean, I'm sure some people do, but I just try not to look at how much is added. It's, you know, that money has done a lot for me of being 21 and, you know, kind of out here. So it did a lot for me. And of course I gave a pretty big percentage of it to my dad because he owns the horse and he helps me get to the rodeos and stuff. And, you know, but it when rodeos put up that much money, it can change for people like me, you know, it can change your life. for a little while.
Obviously, right. Now, tell us about your horse that you rode in that rodeo, and if you have more than one horse.
I wish I had more than one horse, but I don't. Her name is Tibby. She was born on our place. I grew up riding her mom. I junior high rodeoed on her mom. She was my quote-unquote rehab horse because I got in a pretty bad wreck when I was about 7 and I didn't want to ride ever again. And I got Tibby's mom and, you know, started riding her and took a long time, but went a little bit on her. And Tibby, the moment that she was born, I thought that she was special. You know, she was kind of small and, you know, everybody wants something big, but she was, the moment she was born, she was special. And she just came along so fast. She went from walking the barrels to trotting the barrels to flat out running the barrels. And, you know, my dad won 7 fraternities on her, and she's just a special mare.
Let's go back to your injury. You said you were 7 years old, right?
Yes.
How did you work past your fear, you know, to get back up on that horse? That was obviously difficult. How did you do that?
You know what? I had to sit on the sidelines and watch my brother and sister and my cousins and all my friends go out and ride and have fun and play Cowboys and Indians. And I had to sit on the sideline because I was too scared to get on. And so I, you know, my brother told me, he's like, either you toughen up and you get back on, or he's like, or you don't have any friends. And so, you know, I was like, oh, I got to get on. And so my dad got me racy and she took care of me. You know, she just walked and trotted. She never got hot around a gate or anything. She really took care of me. She's a special, special horse.
Aw, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So your dad, he trains barrel horses. He trained Tibby, right?
Yes, he did.
Okay. And so tell us a little bit about his business. Is he still training horses? And where is that out of? Is that in Colorado?
Yes, it is. We still live in Colorado. We come down to Texas in the wintertime. My dad and my mom used to train fraternity colts together, but then when they separated, you know, my mom had kind of took us girls and just did like the mom thing, and dad kept doing his horse thing. And he'll take outside horses from certain people. He's not open for business. You know, people don't just come drop their horses off. Like, he wants to look at their papers and he wants to look at their confirmation and he wants to know the people. And we're out of Colorado. We have our own stud, Dark Kelly. He's actually the sire of Kelly's Chick, that the McLeods won so much on. And we're not trying to be Bill Myers or anything like that, but you know, we got brood mares and we got our stud. And you know, just trying to manage it on a smaller level just because it is just me and my dad. So that's what we do.
And your stud, go ahead.
This is Lorinda. How are you?
It's good. How are you?
Good. I think that's so great. You know, the way you guys are running, you know, your business that way, because you're, the time he's investing in those horses, Heather, you know, he's looking at what those papers, you know, say about those horses and what they can do. So if he's putting the time into these horses and knowing the owners, where the horses are going to go, you know, he really can see those horses grow and win and do something. You know, it's just fantastic that you guys have that type of clientele and you do that. I love it.
Yes. It's a lot more personable. Like, I enjoyed a lot more than what we used to do. You know, dad would take in anything we could, you know, just because, you know, this is not an easy lifestyle.
No.
It's not easy to pay for hay every month and grain and getting their teeth done. Mm-hmm. And, you know, something gets caught in the fence and your vet bill's, you know, $5,000. I mean, it's not an easy lifestyle. And we didn't used to be able to do that, you know, be able to pick and choose who he rode for. And he would get horses that wouldn't go in or flipping over or whatever. And we, you know, he used to, when we were kids, that's all we had was horses that were rehab cases. And, you know, it teaches you a lot, but gosh, when you get to the point where you can pick and choose and pick good horses and make good horses, I mean, that's the goal.
Yep. Game changer right there. That's why you're winning Fort Worth Rodeo, girl.
Yeah.
Love it.
Tell us a little bit. And Lorinda, you can chime in on this too. I've never been to that rodeo. Tell us about the rodeo and how it works and anything you want to fill us in on, because I'm clueless.
Well, I have never been there. I mean, I've never even watched the rodeo there before I went there. And, you know, I went in and I rode and stuff in the arena, and I was like, man, this pattern is set up kind of weird. Like, the first rail's in the middle of nowhere.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Oh, and everybody in there, they're like, oh yeah, you gotta watch out for the first barrel, da, 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 da. And I was getting all worked up about it, and my dad's like, what's your deal? Like, he's like, just do the same thing you always do, chill out. And so, you know, I kind of had to get a hold of myself. But man, when you walk down that alleyway and there's like a band over the top of you, and it's like a tunnel, and it's fun. I mean, those white panels, you're just like, this is an old school rodeo. Like, it's old school. And you know, they put all the barrel racers in this itty bitty tiny holding pen in the back, and I mean, it's small, and I mean, you don't want a bunch of barrel horses in one little itty bitty space. And you know what? Actually, a couple performances after me, my friend Tyra Kane, she was in the holding pen, and a bull jumped out of the chute and down the alleyway and knocked over the gate guy and got into the holding pen with all the barrel racers. I mean, that was. Yeah, it was a fiasco. And so, you know, like in the short round and my second round, I'm like sitting there and I'm like, am I the only one that's like kind of freaked out about them putting the bowls in the shoes? Or I don't know. But it's just, I mean, you just get the feel that it's just a big, important rodeo. It just makes you feel that way.
Yeah, it's super cool. I mean, I remember the first time I went, and I grew up in Central and Southern California. So yeah. Getting to go to the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo was a big deal. And
yeah,
it, I mean, the band and the, like she says, the white panels, and I've ran in that pen, and it's that first barrel. And then like at the rodeo, we went a couple nights, and the guys that rake, it's a tiny arena. And then the guys that rake sit right there on the outside of your barrel.
Yeah.
So, I mean, some girls, they do. Yeah,
I mean, no.
Are you running around the guys?
Well, no, they're like against the fence.
Okay.
Well, as soon as you turn the first barrel, they like run out to that barrel and start like raking it. And then you turn the second barrel and they run out there and they start raking it. And so like, if you had a spooky horse and you're like running from the third barrel and those guys are out there raking, I don't know what would happen.
Wow. Yes. Yes, yeah. I mean, I was just watching that going. Oh
yeah.
Cause I'm, you know, the horse I'm running is pretty spook eyed and I'm just thinking,
well,
but that's, you know, part of barrel racing, all the different variables that you have to do.
I know.
Make a great run.
Yes,
no,
I know.
The rodeo, I mean, it's just mind boggling for it to go on that long and the two performances every day and everything, the amount of people and rodeo people that come in and out of that place. It's a neat thing to see.
It's enormous. I mean, it's huge.
Mm-hmm.
It's
wow.
The whole thing.
And you won it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
It doesn't even feel like that. It doesn't even feel like that.
Yeah.
Well, it should. Cool. It should sink in soon.
Yeah.
So real quick, I wanted to touch on you. You mentioned that you ride for Busby Quarter Horses too. To me.
Yes.
Do you want to explain? Because we have listeners that aren't going to understand what that is, because we have some people on the English side that listen to the show. Explain what Busby Quarter Horses is and what it means to ride for them.
Okay, so Busby Quarter Horses, they own Blazing Chetalina. He's a pretty dominant stallion in the barrel racing industry. You know, he's a sire of a lot of good horses. She's a Blazing Move, Jetta Red, you know, just a lot of big horses. And they had a spot open to, you know, for a trainer, and Andrea Busby, she's a really, really good friend of mine. I can honestly say she's one of my best friends, but she was out rodeoing and she was having hell. I mean, she was having such a hard time, and we were at Reno and we're all riding in the arena and she looked like she was about to cry. And Dad was like, looked at me and Paige, my sister, and he was like, should I help her? And me and Paige were like, no, you're going to help her. And then she's going to like start beating us. And we're like, no, don't do it. And and he's like, no, I'm going to help her. And so he went over and he kind of picked her brain and helped her out. And she started making some better runs, and then he helped her at Spanish Fork, and she started placing. I mean, she won 20,000 within 3 months of Dad helping her, and we just became really good friends with them, and they have a huge, huge breeding operation. I mean, there's so many horses there that my dad and I can't even get them all rode. And so my dad is riding their colts, their three-year-olds, and then kind of trying to, because the horses that he picked up that were in the middle of their futurity year that were with another trainer, he's just trying to get them to come his way. But, you know, so he rides the three-year-old. He helps with just the maintenance of everything. And I ride some of the open horses, and, you know, they're just great people. And I truly enjoy being around Jeff and Andrea. They're really good people. And so, you know, it's kind of hard, too, because, like, we have our stud and kind of our breeding operation. But thankfully, we can kind of collaborate and just try to get the best of their breeding program and the best of our breeding program together when we can, you know.
I was going to say, that's great that you can collaborate with each other and have that relationship. Yeah. I think that's a great thing. Yeah. And I do people too. Don't find that too often. So wonderful.
No, it's not. Yeah, it's not very common in this industry. This industry is pretty, it's kind of like a dog fight, you know? Everybody's not super friendly. Yes.
No, but she's right about that. And they are great, great, great people. I mean, I can even vouch for that. I don't know them as well as you, but I mean, just the things they've done for the industry and
are just amazing. They're so giving. And they don't even need to be. You know, people don't treat them nearly as good as they should, because the things that they have done for this industry and for, you know, adding money to futurities as far as, and, you know, I mean, they've offered to help with, like, the ground at the NFR. I mean, they're just great people. And they don't need to do that. Mm-hmm. They don't have to do that. They just want to help, you know?
The love of barrel race.
Yes. Well, Ivy, thank you so much for coming on the show. And I want to give you a chance to tell everyone where they can follow you. And I believe your stud, Dark Kelly, has his own Facebook page too. So go ahead and give a shout out for those.
Dark Kelly has his own Facebook page. You can just go on to Facebook, type in Dark Kelly, DarkKelly. And then my sister does a little Facebook page just of, like, keeping updated of where I'm at. And it's called Conrado Sisters, and Conrado, and then Sisters. So those are the two main ones that we do.
Awesome. Well, thanks again. And congratulations. I am so excited for you. And you were just a joy to have on the show. Yes, ma'am. You have a good day.
Thank you for having me.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Have a great day.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, let's play today's song. We have another great one from Mitch Gallagher, and it's Country to Me.
In fields all across this land, there's a farmer cutting hay. He drives a beat-up truck that says Dodge Ram, Ford or Chevrolet. And when he sits down on his porch, he'll drink sweet tea or lemonade. It's all the same as long as it's homemade. Well, everyone's got their own taste, and they're set in their ways. On Jim Beam or Jack D, John Deere, Case IH. And whether you wash down your moon pie with a soda pop or Coke, just call it whatever feels like home. For some it's a moonshine still in the Carolina pines, or the Colorado mountains reaching towards the sky, or the big muddy rivers that flow from sea to sea. Everyone's got an image of what it ought to be. It's all country to me. Whether you live down a back road or beside some city street,
Whether you think Arthur Allen or George Strait is the king, well, you may hide it down deep inside or show it off with pride, but it ain't a fashion statement, it's a way of life. For some it's a moonshine still in the Carolina pines, or the Colorado mountains reaching towards the sky, or the big mighty rivers that flow from sea to sea. Everyone's got an image of what it ought to be. It's all country to me. For some it's a moonshine still in the Carolina pines, or the Colorado mountains reaching towards the sky, or the big mighty rivers that flow from sea to sea. But everyone's got an image of what it ought to be. It's all country to me. It's all country.
And that was another beautiful song from Mitch Gallagher, Country to Me. You can find his music on iTunes. You're listening to the Women in Rodeo episode here on Horses in the Morning. Women in Rodeo brought to you by the Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo. We are here the fourth Tuesday of every month.
Well, speaking of Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo, a mouthful of rodeo, Heather, tell me a little bit about that, because not everybody's going to be familiar with it. And those who are, I'm sure, are going to want to hear the details.
Yeah, the Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo is the premier event that brings National Championship Rodeo to Kissimmee this year, April 7th through 10th. The RNCFR pits the circuit, season, and finals average winners against one another in the seven traditional rodeo disciplines. The annual event is held in Kissimmee, Florida at Osceola Heritage Park. Mark your calendars and be sure to join us for beautiful weather and rodeo action here in Florida.
Great family fun in Florida, where the weather will be beautiful in April.
Oh, yeah.
Guaranteed no snow.
That's right. And go see Mickey Mouse while you're here, too, if you want to.
Well, see, that's the cool part, is you can get something for everybody by going to this, because Kissimmee, you can tell I'm not a native, Kissimmee, Florida is right next door to Mickey Mouse World and all the rest of the really cool stuff. So you can come down, you can do the rodeo, you can do some theme parks, you can go over and do medieval times. It's got it all.
Yes, that's right.
There you
that's
go.
Right.
Check it out. Hey, I think we've got another guest coming up, don't we?
We do. We have Beth Knight. She's the deputy county manager for Osceola County. Beth also works at the Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo. So we're going to hear a little bit from her about the rodeo.
Oh, cool. Let's welcome her to the show.
Well, welcome to the show, Beth. I'm so glad to have you on today.
Thank you so much. It's a privilege to be here with you today.
Yes, ma'am. So I want everyone to get to know a little bit about you and who you are, other than working for the county. So tell me a little bit about yourself as a mom and what family life is like for you.
Oh, great. Well, they are the absolute rock of my world. So I've been married to my wonderful husband, Terry, for 25 years. We have three amazing children. Our oldest, Justin, our son, is a United States Marine and has been for about 8 years. He's currently in Norway, and he's given us two absolutely beautiful granddaughters. My oldest daughter, Kendall, is married and has a soon-to-be one-year-old grandson, and they live locally, so he's just the light of my life right now. And then my youngest daughter, who will turn 13 tomorrow, is Sydney, and she keeps us busy. She keeps us young and on the go, and love our kids very much, and we have a very close family, and so we enjoy those Sunday night dinners as a family. But they're just an absolute huge support to me and huge rodeo fans.
you know, when I saw your bio come through and I posted that on the Women of Rodeo Instagram, what really stuck out to me is that you also have what I thought was a 12-year-old, but a 13-year-old. And I have a 13-year-old. And oh my goodness, they keep me so busy. The life of a teenager mixed in with the life of a busy mom and a working mom is unbelievable. So not only do you have your schedule, but you have their schedule. And I don't know about your daughter, but mine's in 4-H and FFA and National Junior Honor Society. So club meetings like crazy. How do you shuffle all of that?
Well, again, I have to give kudos to my husband because he's great. When I'm not there, he fills in, and you know, he's just great. But the county's been great to work for too. So, you know, their philosophy is family comes first. So when there are those important occasions happening, they make sure that I have the time to devote to the family. And I'm very fortunate. Sydney, my youngest, is literally 5 minutes away. Her school is. So it allows me to zip over there and be there for those important moments during her school day. So, but she definitely keeps me engaged with social media. That's for sure.
Well, great. So let's dive right in. Let's start talking about the Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo. I am so excited that, you know, we've contracted that right here in the state of Florida. Tell us about your role with that and how you got involved.
Well, the, it's no secret to anyone that the county made a run at the National Finals Rodeo that's been in Vegas for so many years. And, you know, unfortunately, we weren't able to secure that. But the relationship we built with the PRCA during that process, you know, was really important. And they ended up coming back to us and saying, look, we were so impressed by the county and the community and just how the community had rolled out the red carpet for them, that they wanted to engage us with the Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo. So that's how we secured that. I was part of the team that worked with PRCA to get the contract done. And then since that time, my role has been just making sure that we produce a top quality rodeo and that we do the sales and marketing and basically put the event together and create not just a rodeo for the attendees, but an experience for them.
Well, and I went last year and visited, and it was a phenomenal rodeo. You guys have really done a great job. And like I said, I couldn't be more excited to have it right in my own backyard. And I think that Florida was a great fit for that. There's so much for everyone to do besides the rodeo. And I just think it's wonderful. So thank you for fighting for that.
Well, thank you. It's been a good fit. I agree with you.
Yes, ma'am. So I'm sure you've done a lot of traveling since having the RNCFR come to town, and where all of you gone to promote it, and what all of you done as far as traveling?
Yes, it's been pretty extensive. Either I've gone to a number of places or some of the team members with It's Just Reach has, but we've been to Cheyenne Frontier Days because we wanted to go out and see what a world-class entertainment type rodeo was all about. We've been out to the Rodeo Hall of Fame induction for 2 years in a row now. We went to the Badlands Circuit Finals in Minot, North Dakota. We've been just south of us to the Southeastern Circuit Finals in Davie. Went to Great Lakes Circuit Finals in Louisville, Kentucky, and then Harrisburg, Pennsylvania for their circuit finals. And then, of course, we wouldn't miss an opportunity to go out to Vegas and be there for the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo.
That's, you've been busy, first of all, and you have pretty much named my bucket list. I've done the NFR, but there's a lot of those I've not done, so I'm quite jealous. That's awesome.
I'll tell you, you got to do those things. The people out there are just great, phenomenal rodeo folks.
Wonderful, wonderful. So how did, I think you kind of already touched on this, but exactly how did the county come to contract for the RNCFR? I think you kind of touched on it some.
Well, like I said, we were one of three communities that were vying for the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo event. And so we were competing against Vegas and Texas. And we had the opportunity to invite the PRCA board members here to Florida to showcase our community. And what I found so unique was we had a short period of time to really show them everything there is to do in Osceola County. So it wasn't just about the theme parks we have. I mean, we are on the doorstep of Disney, Universal, SeaWorld. We have world-class shopping. But we also have a lot of fun ecotourism type activities here in Osceola County. So we have Gatorland, we have airboat rides. Wild Florida has been a huge partner of ours. We just have a unique trail system where the headwaters of the Everglades. So there's just a lot of exciting things, but we had a short period of time. We put together a very dynamic visit for them. But what I found so unique was the county didn't pay for anything with regards to being able to showcase our community. Our community partners stepped up and covered the cost of everything that it that was necessary to be able to show them around our community. And I think that's what is really what impressed the PRCA.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, definitely. What do you think has been the impact of bringing the event to Osceola County? You know, I know I saw numbers somewhere showing that the rodeo itself, the RNCFR, definitely grew from moving from where it was previously to Osceola County. But what has that impact been?
Well, a couple of things. I think, first of all, we were able to double the numbers of the attendance. But I think more importantly, for Osceola County and for the state of Florida, we were able to demonstrate that rodeo is our heritage. You know, this isn't Florida, and particularly Central Florida, is not just about the theme parks. You know, rodeo and ranching was long part of our heritage and a tradition here in Osceola County. I mean, the Kissimmee hosts the Silver Spurs rodeo for 70 plus years. So this is nothing new to us. Granted, the RNCFR is on a whole different level, but you know, rodeo and that heritage is part of our community. In fact, we're planning an old-fashioned cattle drive again this year to kick off the rodeo. And we have black and white pictures from 70-plus years ago of cattle being held in front of our courthouse. And that's where we're going to start the cattle drive this year. So it's really talking about embracing and being able to show the rest of the world what we do know about rodeo and why you should come to Kissimmee, Florida. It's just a fantastic family-friendly environment.
And I am glad you're making that a focus. I know listeners hear me say this probably every episode, but me being a Florida girl, it is so important to me to let everyone know about our heritage, because the first thing that I hear while I'm out traveling is, what do you mean there's rodeos in Florida? Or what do you mean there's cattle in Florida? People really only think Mickey Mouse and beach. They think about the water and Mickey Mouse. And so I'm glad that you guys are really making that a focus. I think it's important. And so you talked about the cattle drive. That's one of the events going on centered around the rodeo. What else do you have going on during the RNCFR?
Well, of course, besides just an awesome tailgate experience that we're going to have outside of the arena each evening for our folks to go to, and lots of family-friendly activities there. Besides that, we're also going to have the Justin Cowboy Crisis Fund luncheon this year to raise money for those cowboys that are in need. And that'll be on Saturday morning. It'll be more like a brunch, if you will. We'll be also taking the contestants to Give Kids the World, which, if you're familiar with that organization, it's a place where families with children who are facing life-threatening illnesses, and they make a wish, whether it's to come to Disney or Universal or whatever it might be. They can come, all costs are paid for them to come out to Give Kids the World. And last year we took the contestants out there and let them interact with the kids. And the folks at Give Kids the World told us that when they posted that on Facebook, it was the most popular post they've ever done. And,
wow.
And the response was phenomenal. So I was blown away by the amount of contestants that wanted to go and be a part of that. It was so significant that we had to get a rather large bus to transport them all, but we're going to be doing that again. And I want the community to see that these contestants, when they arrive in town, it's not just about coming and vying for that purse. It's about giving back to the community and showing them that they care about this community that's home to the RNCFR. So we're excited about that. We're also going to do a golf tournament similar to what we did last year. So we've got a couple of different events. Our contestants will also be given places that we want them to go and interact with community and talk to them about the RNCFR. So we have some of those activities as well. But I think all in all, it's going to be a very exciting 4 days.
Man, the one with the kids, that I had no clue. Now, is that similar to the Make-A-Wish Foundation, or are those two separate entities?
It's two separate entities, but they're very similar in what
okay.
they accomplish.
And what they accomplish. Okay. All right. I love that. I'm going to have to look that up. I'd like to know more. So,
yeah, they have a great village. And you know, next time you're in the area, we'd love to give you a tour.
I would love that. I would love that. Yes, ma'am. Now, one other thing you have going on is the Skirts and Spurs Luncheon. Tell us about that.
So, the Skirts and Spurs Luncheon is the Justin Cowboy Crisis Fund Luncheon. And, you know, when we were talking with the PRCA last year, in particular talking with Commissioner Stressman, you know, he had mentioned that. And so I brought it back to the community, and we formed a committee of several professional women in our community who said, yeah, we're willing to do that. We think it's a great cause. And so they took that under their wing. And so for the first year, they raised $30,000, which was pretty impressive for a first year event.
Wow.
And so they have their attendance goals set for this year. We've changed the venue. It's actually going to be at Osceola Heritage Park in our KVLS building. And so we think it's going to be great. I have no doubt these young ladies will be able to meet their attendance goals. And of course, the goal overall is to raise even more money. But they, each and every one of them, believe in the cause. And it's just, it's a great, great foundation.
And I hope to make it to that. I'd like to come check that out too. And what day did you say that was again? I'm sorry.
It is Saturday, April 9th.
Okay. Okay. So I want to know, you know, you've done this for a year now. You're coming into your second year. What has been the best part of that for you, for being involved with the RNCFR?
I think I've got two takeaways from being involved. You know, and one kind of came about just visiting the different circuits and being in and around people who you know, rodeo for a living. And that's been the amazing relationships that have been formed. I can't tell you how much feedback we got going to the circuits and how much they appreciated that we were there. And just having those relationships and putting faces and names together and really creating friendships, it's just been so unique and different than any other type of contractual arrangement that I've been involved with the county. So that's really been, you know, a blessing to me, honestly. The second thing I will tell you is last year, we always encourage the contestants to bring their families because it is a family-friendly destination. I think that's what sets us apart. And, you know, we had a couple of contestants last year that brought their families, and I heard from other contestants who said, you know, I've been rodeoing for 10 years with this guy. I've never met his wife or his kids. And
oh, wow.
So to see that and then to see how excited the spouses and the kids were to be here and an opportunity to go see some of the things around here, that was just really rewarding to me and just confirmed that we are a world-class family-friendly destination. So those have been those two takeaways.
Well, and I agree. I think that it's really a special, special place for the rodeo. So for those of you that are listening, the RAM National Circuit Finals Rodeo runs April 7th through 10th this year. You can go to the website, which is rncfr.com, and look up all the events and information and get your tickets. Any final thoughts that you'd like to throw in?
Just want to invite everyone to come see what the RNCFR is all about, and we'll welcome you, and I'll be happy to give you a personal tour around our community.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Beth. I really appreciate it, and hopefully I look forward to meeting you soon.
All right. Take care now.
Yes, ma'am. Have a good day.
Okay. I looked up the one place she was talking about, Wild Florida? I just looked it up.
Yes.
I'm going to go there. Florida.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yes, I want to go there too. I always see pictures of the rodeo queens. We get an unbelievable amount of rodeo queens that come to not just the RAM National Circuit Finals, but the Silver Spurs Rodeo. There's a bunch of them in town right now because the rodeo's this weekend. Mm-hmm. And they will post pictures from going to that place. And I'm always like, oh, I want to go. I want to go.
Go to the Kissimmee area. You can free for all it. Just yes, show up.
Exactly.
Rent a car.
There's so much. You'll never see it all.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely. Just fabulous. That was so much fun to chat with her. And we've got a kind of a jam-packed show. Do you want to go ahead and get hold of our next guest and have her on?
Sure. Next up, we have Roxanne Harris. She is the Miss Rodeo America Executive Board Member and member of the National Advisory Council. She's going to come on and talk to us a little bit about membership.
All righty. Let's welcome her to the show.
Hi, Roxanne. Welcome to the show. So I introduced you as not just a board member, but also part of the National Advisory Council. We have a lot of people that might not be familiar with that. Can you explain to me what that is real quick?
Absolutely. So the National Advisory Council, or as we refer to it, NAC, is made up of a group of ladies, all volunteers, that primarily help put our pageant on, which is an annual pageant held in December during the Wrangler National Finals Rodeo.
Okay, awesome. And you're going to talk a little bit about membership, correct? You have like a membership drive going this month, is that right?
We do. Our membership runs annually. It's February to February of each year. So we are looking for more members to come on board and be part of our fabulous organization. Membership is so important to us, mainly because it's all made up of volunteers. So we only have a couple of full-time staff, and the rest of us are all volunteers that help put the pageant on, along with some other activities that we do throughout the year. So we definitely could use more people to come on board.
Okay, awesome. And you have, I saw somewhere that you have an Miss Rodeo America, if you guys hear me say MRA, that's what it stands for. So an MRA magazine. Tell me about that magazine and what that has to do with the membership.
Absolutely. So the MRA News or magazine is actually sponsored by RAM. And it's published quarterly. It provides updates of what Miss Rodeo America is doing during her yearly reign and in various destinations that she travels. She travels over 100,000 miles throughout her reign. And she visits various rodeos, meets with our sponsors, our very dedicated sponsors, and does a lot of community outreach. So the magazine's full of a lot of colorful photos. You're going to feel like you've been right there with her during her reign, visiting all these numerous sites throughout the country. The magazine also will share, as we get closer to pageant, our pageant schedule, and it provides an opportunity for you to purchase tickets before pageant, which we always encourage people to pre-order because a number of our events do sell out.
Okay, awesome. What type of exclusive discounts do members get? I know these are all things that people that aren't members are probably thinking of.
Absolutely. So we have a various membership levels. So you can really come on board very inexpensively for as low as $25 a year. And with that, you'll get the Miss Rodeo America News that we just talked about, that magazine. And then the memberships go up from there. And we really encourage our former alumni, our former Miss Rodeo Americas, to also participate. So we have an alumni membership level. We also have a royalty and junior rodeo royalty membership level. So those are for young ladies that maybe are aspiring down the road to become Miss Rodeo America at some point in time in their queening career. And then we have the National Advisory, which we just talked about, along with our ambassador program. The ambassador program, anybody can join. So it's a really great way to come on board. You receive some VIP privileges during our pageant, preferred seating, discounts on tickets. Your name is listed in our Miss Rodeo America News, the magazine, as well as our souvenir pageant program. With all of our memberships, you'll receive a 20% discount for purchasing Montana Silversmith jewelry, which what girl doesn't want more jewelry?
Right.
And it's actually Montana Silversmith is exclusive, well, not exclusive, but they are one of our premier sponsors. And Miss Rodeo America wears Montana Silversmith jewelry throughout her reign. So you're going to feel like you're a Miss Rodeo America yourself if you purchase the Montana Silversmith jewelry. So some definitely great discounts and various amenities, if you will, that you get with our different membership levels.
Well, I like the whole Montana Silversmith thing. That sounds like a win to me.
Right? No doubt.
Now, what I'm hearing is you do not have to be a rodeo queen to be a member. So little old me, I could be a member as well, correct?
Absolutely. Come on board with us, Heather. We'd love to have you.
She'll want a crown. Great. She'll want a crown with her membership.
A crown or I want a buckle too. Montana Silversmith buckle. This is winner.
Montana can hook you up. Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. The event, I was in Vegas this year when I did the fashion show at MGM at night, and it was all the queens were practicing on the same stage that we worked on. And it was so cute. One afternoon, we were doing a fitting with the MGM dancers and then the models we had brought in. And I'm not sure if it was some women from your committee or moms, but two of them came in and they're looking through all the racks of clothes. And they're like, wow, these are the outfits for the fashion show. And we're like, yeah. And so one of the dancers had come in and came out in an outfit. And one of the moms' face, I think she turned like 4 shades of white. And I'm like, are you guys here for the rodeo, for Miss Rodeo America pageant fashion show? And they're like, yes. I'm like, yeah, these are the wrong outfits. These are not what they will be wearing. I said, we are the fashion show in the MGM Gold Buckle Zone at night after the rodeo performance. And the mom was like, oh, okay. I said, you're welcome to keep looking though. I mean, we're going to sell all these outfits if you would like to purchase any. And she was as sweet as can be, but the confusion on her face when she first walked in there was, it was pretty funny.
Priceless.
I mean, I had to, you know, yeah, no. And I mean, you know, I was a rodeo queen for years and, you know, the rules of the outfit and what showed and didn't show. And I'm like, oh, we were breaking all of them with our outfits. So, but no, it was so neat to just be in and around and a part of everything that you guys do out at Vegas. I mean, if you get a chance, you know, our listeners to go out to Vegas and watch Miss Rodeo America, it's amazing what you guys put on out there. Incredible.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that. It's a lot of hard work, but we certainly love it. And we could certainly use more help out there. So come join us.
I'll bring some new outfits for you girls.
So lastly, I want to ask you real quick, you know, we were talking about that it doesn't have to just be a rodeo queen to be a member, but who is your average member?
Absolutely. So our average member is, and they'll fall out of your seats, but men and women of all ages. And you say, men, really, why would they want to get involved? But we really can use the male support, if you will. And we have some fabulous guys that come out along with their wives and help put the pageant on. They help with horsemanship and our various other events. The pageant goes on for 8 days. So it's a long, long schedule for these girls, and as well as all the volunteers, the members that come out and support it. So anybody who aspires to live and maintain our Western heritage and lifestyle, you have a passion for the sport of rodeo, and is just an overall desire to help and develop youth in these young ladies. It's amazing to see how these girls just grow throughout their reign and just go on to be true leaders and influencers in their professional lives. So we also encourage, you know, any young rodeo queen contestant, you know, again, you don't have to be rodeo royalty to be a member, but we are looking for those younger girls at the county, state, and local state level to come and join us. And this way you get a really good feel for what Miss Rodeo America does. And it's a lot of work that these ladies put in just to get to Vegas in December. Mm-hmm. So.
Absolutely. You guys are an amazing organization, which is exactly why I have you on my show. I thought it was important, and I'm glad to partner with you guys in that way. And I'll definitely be a member very soon. So I encourage any of our listeners, especially any of you, like she said, any of the young rodeo queens, if you want to get a really good inside look at what they're doing and how to grow yourself, then, I think that's a good way to go. Become a member and, you know, enjoy those perks and get your Montana silversmiths for 20%.
Absolutely. And to learn more about memberships, you can go on our website. It's www.rodeoamerica.com. So easy enough to remember.
Yes. Do you have any final thoughts for us, Roxanne?
I just want to thank you all so much. And we really, truly appreciate the support and helping get our awareness out there about our organization. You know, we're 61 years young. The organization's been around for many, many years, but we continue to grow. And it's from people like yourself, Heather and Lorinda, for helping us out and just keeping the awareness going out there throughout the U.S. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. Anything we can do, I appreciate it. And thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you, ladies.
Yes, ma'am. Have a good day.
Thank you. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Well, Lorinda, that was a great show, and I'm so proud of us. We survived our first show all by ourselves.
Yes, we did.
Okay, everybody, be sure to stay connected. You can find Women in Rodeo at womeninrodeo.com, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can follow all Horse Radio Network shows at horseradionetwork.com. Their app is the easiest way to listen to the recorded version of the show. Just go to Horse Radio Network on iOS or Android. It's free and easy to download.
Find the links to today's guests and the show notes at horsesinthemorning.com. You can also follow Horses in the Morning on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning or on Twitter at Horse Radio. Thank you again to our sponsor, Ram National Circuit Finals Rodeo.
See you next month, everyone.
Let's rodeo. Can I help myself?